This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. You are listening to Balance Sperling.
With him, Martin Bell.
And him, Johnny Sperling. Greatest night of European football I have ever witnessed in my life.
Yeah. And mine.
You think so?
Yeah, you haven't witnessed it in my life, have you?
I've not witnessed it in your life.
No.
Or in your lifetime.
No, in my lifetime.
It's
incredible. Absolutely incredible. And our boss, Kelvin McKenzie, came in this morning and said the same thing. Yeah. That he's never seen anything like it.
Never seen anything like it.
No.
And I don't think any of us... Obviously, the fight back in 2005 against AC Milan, yes, in the final, brilliant. But we never expected an English team to beat the likes of Messi and Suarez last night from 3-0 down. We're going to be talking to Alex Hode as well, coming up, who's in Amsterdam ahead of tonight's Spurs game, John.
Yes.
Obviously you're quite excited about.
Well, I'm very excited about it. You know, of course I'm excited. It's the semi-finals of the Champions League.
Could face Liverpool.
You never know.
We're also going to be talking a greatest song that's played in the stadium is You'll Never Walk Alone. Is it the greatest song that you've ever heard? And the only other thing...
Not you've ever heard.
Not you've ever heard.
Is it the greatest football song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's probably better than I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles.
Which is all that. And that's coming from a West Ham fan.
Yeah. I think it makes you go cold. We're also going to be talking about sleep deprivation with the Royal Baby. I know that Wills has come out yesterday and said he's looking forward to his brother and his sister-in-law getting no sleep.
Yeah, you mean the nannies get no sleep?
Well, you don't know, John. Yeah. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I know what it's like.
The nannies get no sleep.
Listen, not everybody has a nanny just because you've got money and, you know, and privileges. You know, I think most mums will want to take charge of their own child.
I should think so. No? Maybe anyway. So.
We're now going to talk to James Trott, who's a Liverpool fan, and he is, it's probably one of the greatest European nights we've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
And to be a Liverpool fan must be amazing. James, where did you watch it?
Oh, I watched it at home, boys.
Well, he was at home, was he?
Proper fan, then.
Yeah.
You'd like to have been, I bet you'd love to have been there, though, James, wouldn't you?
Would have given anything, but I was babysitting last night.
So, we were talking about the Sleep Deprivation Society. How old's the baby?
No, one's 10 and the other's 14, so...
Well, I bet you... Hang on a minute. I bet you still don't sleep, though.
No, I don't.
James,
not when I play with Belly anyway.
Exactly. That's right.
James, tell us, did you really believe that Liverpool could do that last night?
If I said yeah, I'd probably be lying. Yeah. I did. A few boys said during the day, and I said at best optimistic. But I think the underlying thing was, if you can still breathe, you can still fight. And they certainly showed that last night. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, they just had belief, didn't they?
Do you think that's what it was? Do you think the fact that you had Salah out and Firmino out, Origi came into it, he's only played 5 games this season. Do you think it was just the spirit of players like Van Dijk at the back and Jordan Henderson? Do you think they spurred the rest of the team on?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm not the biggest fan of Matip, but I thought he was immense last night. He was unbelievable. He was absolutely great. I mean, Van Dijk orchestrates everything and directs everything, but Matip was the one who actually put his body on the line. I thought, same as Fabinho.
Yeah,
with Robertson going off, and everyone thought, oh, here we go. He's one of the main players there now.
But then,
obviously, if he hadn't gone off, Ronaldo wouldn't have come on, it'd probably been a different story.
Who was your player of the match?
Henderson for me, I think.
Right.
He drove everything on. He just led by example. He was just an inspirational leader on the evening. So when he went down as well, you thought, it could be a problem.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, he got up and he drove him on again. And you could see him rallying around. And there was no way that the standards were going to drop with him on the pitch. So.
No, agreed. And he was instrumental in the first goal. The way that he drove through the middle, it was almost Messi-like. The way sort of dropped his shoulder.
Messi for them, yeah.
It was very messy for them. I like that, James. James, talk to us about Luis Suarez. What's your thoughts on him?
I don't know. I'm not allowed to. Can you swear on the radio?
But, you can't, unfortunately.
No, okay, all right then. Superb talent. I think he's got some serious issues somewhere along the line. I don't know. He's a great player. You can see why you want him in your team, but I think he can let you down at times.
So being a Liverpool fan, obviously, I mean, Steven Gerrard said he's one of the greatest players he played with, you know, but just a disgusting person, I think, in my view. You know, what he'd done to Robertson there, he knew what he was doing, where he flicked back, you know. It didn't expect a sort of injury like that, but he knew what he was doing.
Mm. He did. But, I mean, even if you go back to the first game, at Camp Nou, Barcelona actually played like an old Italian team. They had all the dirty tricks, the dark arts and everything like that. They were stopping people and stuff. I've never seen a team play like that before because obviously they couldn't cope with the pace and the power.
Yeah.
But Suarez, I think, I don't know, I think when he was at Liverpool, all the Brazilian boys had their teeth whitened. I think he had his straightened, didn't he?
Yeah. I'm going to bite you. just talk to us a little bit about, we've been referencing You'll Never Walk Alone. And what is it like to be at Anfield when they sing that?
I don't know. I just mentioned it then. You get hairs on the back of your neck. I took the kids up there. I think it was last year, the first time I took the little ones up there to Anfield. And when the cops started singing that, I mean, obviously you're looking around the ground and filming it and stuff like that. And I looked down and said a word to the two little ones. And they both stood there with the scarves above their head singing it. And I was crying my eyes out.
Jay, I mean, you're not from Liverpool. What made you become a Liverpool fan?
I'm a Cardiff boy, actually.
Well, really? Right, okay.
Nobody can support Cardiff. It's not worth it, is it? It's pointless. So Liverpool was your next best choice, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Well, it's near Cardiff, isn't it? So.
Yeah, no, that's quite true.
I had an operation when I was four, and Mum and Dad came out to visit me in the hospital, and my dad bought me a Liverpool shirt with number 7 on the back.
Wow, Kevin Keegan.
Which wasn't actually far off from what you were talking about earlier with the Newcastle Cup final in
1974. Yeah. I think I was right, wasn't I? James, it was 1974.
I think it was 74, yeah, in Newcastle, yeah.
Yeah, and that's very similar. So Kevin Keegan was 7, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, he was my hero. I think he was a bit older than 7, otherwise you wouldn't have gone to the first team.
Did you have the curly perm as well?
No, I didn't actually.
just thinking, looking ahead, obviously we're saying it's probably the greatest night. Just looking ahead to the Prem on Sunday, what do you think will happen with yourselves and Manchester City?
After last night, anything could happen, to be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
I think never say never. So, I mean, Man City haven't been convinced in the last few games, but even getting over the line, haven't they?
No.
And stuff like that.
Also, don't forget, I mean, Brighton have caused... I mean, they can clamp up. They can really clamp
they can
up.
Defend,
and defend, can't they?
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, I think... Do you know what? We always say, I think this could be Liverpool's... I think it could go their way.
It could be your greatest week in your history, couldn't it, James?
It could be. I mean, you deserve it.
The last Man City game, it looked like they were almost snatching things in front of goal, Aguero and stuff like that. And, you know, it came down to company. He's going to hit 100 of those, like in training, and they're all going to go over the bar, and then that one's gone in, isn't it?
So, Agreed.
Well, listen, James, it's great having you on. We've had quite a few Liverpool fans texting and tweeting in.
Nice
to talk to someone who actually from London who supports Liverpool. James Trott.
I'll be passing to you next time I play with you.
without a doubt. James Trott there, Liverpool fan. Tell us what it's like to sing You'll Never Walk Alone in the stadium.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Barcelona is obviously one of the most difficult things in world of football. It's unbelievable. And I said to the boys before the game, I don't think it's possible, but because it's you, I think we have a chance. Because they are really mentality giants.
Jurgen Klopp there. I mean, I wonder how he slept last night.
He couldn't have slept.
You know that he would be asleep, though, because in the dark, his teeth will show up.
He's got some teeth.
He's got some, hasn't he? I don't think there is.
It must have cost a few quid.
Yeah, I think he's got the old veneers.
He's had them whitened, didn't he? That's all.
They're dentures. They're actual dentures.
Mm.
So
they are dentures.
Yeah, I think, you know, when he takes them out, he goes clippity-clop. Jurgen Klopp there talking about the greatest night of football. We were going to have Steve Talbot, who was coming back, a Liverpool fan, who was coming back from the
from
game
Anfield,
last night.
Yeah.
But his voice has gone.
He can't talk.
You can imagine, couldn't
yeah,
you?
No, no. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you sung You Never Walk Alone for 6 hours, I mean, can you imagine afterwards?
And it's a tough song as well.
It's big, isn't it?
You'll never... You really, there's some big notes in
some
there.
Some big notes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true, actually. When you sing songs like that, do you know what, John? I've just had a memory, a jog back of a few years back when we had a party at mine. And then the sun was coming up, and we went up, because I had a basement, didn't I? And
yes.
We went upstairs and went out to the back garden, and we were singing You'll Never Walk Alone.
I think so.
We were.
It was about 6 a.m.
It was about 6 a.m, the sun had come up, and we were singing it, even though we're not Liverpool fans, but it's just such a great song to sing, isn't it?
You know you had a good night, didn't you, when it's 6 o'clock, the sun. But that feeling, though.
Yeah.
Oh. It's 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, yeah.
And you don't want that light to come up.
No.
You want the night to carry on.
Carry on, yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like that?
Yeah,
you want the light to carry on.
Really?
And, oh no, it's daytime.
I know, it's incredible. What a night it was for Liverpool. And we did have a chat yesterday with Jay Riley from Radio City and Echo. Liverpool Echo,
yeah.
Yesterday. And he's joined us again today because I don't believe Jay... I think Johnny Sperling asked him, do you think you could do it? And I don't think you did think you could do it, did you, Jay?
It was one of them situations where I just thought the away goal could have been the crucial part of it. And, you know, with Liverpool not scoring in the new camp, I thought it was going to be a tall order at Anfield. But I did also say that, you know, special things happen at Anfield and teams crumble, don't they, at Anfield? And that's exactly what happened last night to Barcelona.
They did crumble. They rattled them, didn't they?
Do you think it's the 11th man is the crowd and the stadium?
The 12th man. It's obviously we create a special atmosphere at Anfield, and as I said, you know, teams just seem to crumble. Even, you know, fantastic footballers like Lionel Messi last night, you know, he just didn't really turn up, did he? Luis Suarez wasn't the same player that we've seen in the new Camp either. He missed a really good opportunity, didn't he, in the second half. And, you know, Liverpool, it was just an incredible night. I mean, probably the greatest ever night at Anfield.
Did Liverpool defend really well as well? I mean, did they mark those players, you know, really well? I think they did.
Yeah, I thought we defended really well, and the intensity levels were there, and we pressed, you know, high up the pitch, and you know, we got in their faces, and they certainly didn't like it. And, you know, obviously we needed to score goals as well, and in the second half to score the two goals as we did straight after half time was just fantastic. It was pandemonium in the stadium. It was incredible, really. And, you know, the fourth goal was a strange one, really, wasn't it? Improvisation, really, by Trent Alexander-Arnold. You know, quick thinking. And Origi put it away, and then fantastic, he's a hero.
Just explain, when the final whistle blew, how just everyone just must have... The atmosphere must have been incredible.
Yeah, it was quite emotional, to be honest, because, you know, as we said yesterday, I think in our heart of hearts, we knew we'd have a good go at them. We did think we could score maybe 3 or 4 goals, but like I say, I think people were just expecting Barcelona to get the away goal and would have killed the tie. And to get through to win 4-0 in the manner that we did, I think, you know, even now we're still pinching ourselves that we're through to another European Cup final. It's quite amazing, really, and being at the ground there last night, it was just one of the very best.
Is that the loudest you've ever heard You'll Never Walk Alone sung?
I'm not sure about that. I mean, you know, Liverpool creates an amazing atmosphere in a lot of big games that we have. So I wouldn't go as far as to say it's the best atmosphere I've ever been in, you know, inside the ground. But, you know, it certainly was a special night.
Yeah. And comparable to, obviously, it wasn't at Anfield, but comparable to against AC Milan?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd go as far as to say it's the greatest night at Anfield, because what you've got to look at is back in the day, we beat St. Etienne, we beat Olympiacos as well. We also had the Dortmund one recently in the Europa League, but last night certainly topped that for me. It was the greatest ever night at Anfield, but of course, we still haven't won the trophy yet, have we? So, I mean, Istanbul will never be surpassed, really, because of the way that came about.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, you know, do you think the good luck that you had yesterday, well, not good luck, I mean, you worked for it and you got it. Do you think that's going to roll over now to Sunday? Do you think this good fortune's going to carry on?
Look, the league's out of our hands. All we can do on Sunday is win the game against Wolves and hope for the best. And, you know, the thing is, Man City, as we all know, are a freak of a team. They got 100 points last year, potential to get 98 points this year. They're just an incredible side. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, the only hope we've got is we've got to do our own job. We've got to win our own game and just hope that, you know, City do slip up. And for as long as that game's 0-0, even if City go 1-0 up, Liverpool, there's still a chance because anyone can score a goal in a game of football, can't they? So.
Absolutely.
You know, just got to go into it with an open mind. And the thing is now, because we know we're going to a European Cup final, if we don't win the league, then, you know, we can be philosophical about it and look forward to a European Cup final, because what they done last night was incredible, and hopefully they will carry it forward to the game on Sunday.
Do you think they'll go, do you think they'll go on and win the European Cup final now?
Look, it's not easy to win it, is it? I mean, you've got to look at Klopp. He's lost a couple of finals, hasn't he, for Liverpool? And, you know, he's got to get that, shake that monkey off his back, really, hasn't he? And, you know, you've got to, you've got to hope and pray that we turn up on the day and perform to the level we're capable of.
You'll be favourites, of course.
Yeah, we will be now, beating Barcelona. And, you know, we can't underestimate Ajax or Tottenham, whoever it may be, in the final. I mean, Ajax at the moment have got the advantage, haven't they? Because they won against Spurs on their own ground.
Yes.
So it's going to be tough for Spurs tonight. But I do think Spurs are a very good side. There's no doubt about it. And if they do manage to get through tonight, then you've got to look and think Harry Kane will probably be fit for the final if they get there. So it's going to be a big ask for them to get through tonight, obviously, because Ajax are a very good side as well. Mm. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But my preference would be to play Ajax.
Jay, talk to me about Luis Suarez. I thought it was disgusting last night. I think he's a great footballer, but he just lets himself down. How was he received by the Liverpool fans?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Luis Suarez, right, we can't be hypocrites because we loved him when he was a Liverpool player, and he used to do that when he played for us. And, you know, he basically, fans of other clubs hated him and knew what he was like, and he can be poison, and that's what he's all about. And,
poison.
You know, I'm not going to cry wolf because, you know, certain things that he's done, because he used to do that when he was a Liverpool player. But what I will say is, really, I've seen it back, what he's done to Andy Robertson, and he should really have been sent off.
You can't
do them type of things, can you? And, you know, at least at the end of the day, Liverpool are the ones that have got to, and he's the one that's not smiling anymore. As he was going on saying he wouldn't celebrate in the manner that he did in the new camp, well, he's certainly not celebrating now.
I like the interview with Andy Robertson afterwards, and he said about Suarez, and he said, well, it doesn't matter, we're in the final and he's not, you know. I thought Andy Robertson was going to sort of come out and say, I got away lightly, at least the fella didn't bite me.
He wasn't that hungry yesterday.
Exactly. Jay, listen, it must have been a wonderful time.
We're
going to have a couple of Liverpool fans who were on, but some of them have lost their voices.
what an incredible night.
Jay Riley, thank you ever so much for joining us. Jay Riley there from the Liverpool Echo and Radio City. Amazing night. I do want to hear a little bit more of You'll Never Walk Alone when we come back.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
I love that song, Sven, Sven, Sven. That should be the new national anthem. But now these guys are on Love Sport Radio.
Thank you, Donny. Liverpool last night, greatest European game ever witnessed. But we have slipped away from the old royal family, John.
Yeah, well, I always slip away from them.
You're not a big royalist, are you?
No, not a big one. But do you know what, though? Very quickly, I would say that this royal baby coming and everyone's, you know, I think it's a positive thing. You know, there's so much horrible news about. But, you know, why not have a bit of good news?
Oh, good. I'm glad you're with us, then.
No. I'm all for that.
I'm
all for not hearing about people getting, you know, whatever. And, you know, the knife crime and the awful stuff that's going on. A little bit of light relief.
Okay. We ran on this story yesterday about what name we thought the royal baby would have. We had Tony on, who was the bell ringer.
That's right.
The town crier.
Oh, yeah.
And we said, will they sort of go with an American name, like Hank, right, or Chuck. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Hank.
Hank.
Come on, Hank.
Prince Hank.
Are there any English children named Hank? There are not.
Oh, I doubt it.
I don't think there are many. It's Hank.
Not having it, really, are you?
Oh, it's Hank Marvin.
Oh, it's Hank Marvin, so am I. Should we have something to eat in a minute? okay, so we've obviously, Will's come out yesterday. Will and Kate. They're so nice, Will's and Kate.
Aren't they?
And they come out and did an interview and they said that, you know, I'm looking forward to my brother and Meghan having no sleep.
Yeah, the sleep deprivation society.
Yeah, which is true. I've been through this.
Yeah, of course you have.
You know, and it's especially when my firstborn, it was a nightmare. We had colic for 7 months. And so we literally, you never sleep and you get on each other's nerves. It's a hideous thing. You've got to keep waking up and doing the feeds with a bottle every hour or so, and you never get any sleep. When it's in the middle of the night, you try to be quiet, and it's awful. It really is hard. People don't realize, but you're thinking that the royal family will have nannies for them.
You say, well, you don't think that they're anything like normal people with babies, do you?
It's well,
come on.
Listen, I reckon
they got 25 rooms.
what does that matter?
Because it matters.
You've just still got to, you know, someone's got
they
to feed the baby.
They can afford the very best everything.
Yeah, but I still think that mums want to take charge of their baby, though. Okay. Listen, and I know what it's like not to have sleep and do the feeding.
So do I. Oh, the kids.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. We're joined by Sammy Margo, sleep expert and author of The Good Sleep Guide. This is fantastic for you, John, because you can come on to your little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
Sammy, do you think that the royal... there's obviously a technique on getting enough sleep and still feeding the baby, isn't there?
There certainly is. It's a really, really challenging time. And as many of your listeners are aware, many of us have been, including yourself, we've all been through this prolonged bad sleep zone. And even if you've got help, you still, a lot of mums just want to do it. They want to get involved. Yes. They want to be there. It's just a natural maternal instinct. You're not just going to give birth to this thing and then hand it over. So even if you have got a bit of help, you are going to suffer with some level of sleep deprivation.
Yeah. I mean, purely because you've got the feeds at certain times, so you've got to be awake. It's not a case of the baby's waking up crying. You have to do the feeds at certain times, don't you?
Yeah, so what we often encourage that you do is to try to coordinate your sleep with your baby's sleep, because you've actually got to get some of that deep restorative sleep just so that you can be, if you're a mother, this is not a father because you're not breastfeeding as a father, but just
you've not seen Johnny Sperling.
No, yeah, but and not yet. I think that they are talking about that. I read somewhere that they're talking about men will be able to. But yes,
stop it.
Yes, I'm not lying. Am I right? I'm right.
Sammy, tell us he's wrong.
We're living in a very different world, aren't we? when we grew up, it's a very different world. But I think the point is to really make an effort to sleep when your baby sleeps, so that at least you're getting your downtime when your baby's got downtime, and just making sure that you try and coordinate your life, which is difficult. Like, I gave birth and I went back to work the next week, which was impossible. And I had to carry on not sleeping, breastfeeding at work. But I don't think Meghan's going to be going back to work the next week. So I'm guessing, but I don't have any inside knowledge. So I have no hearsay. I have nothing on this, but she's going to be tired. She's just given birth. She's going to be perhaps breastfeeding. I don't know what the word on the street is at the moment. and that in itself is tiring. Harry obviously can't breastfeed, but as both you guys, it sounds like both of you guys can breastfeed for some reason. I'm not quite sure how you manage to do that, probably both at the same time. But obviously there are ways of expressing for both yourself.
We won't go into that.
No, it's another story. What Johnny Sperling was saying earlier is that they've got great surroundings. They've got staff. They're not in a council flat in a high-rise block with a dog running around, and it's they're not in that environment.
They've got dogs running around.
Well, they have got dogs. But what I'm saying is, then they've got the niceties around them. But you still got to get up in the middle of the night when it's dark outside and feed that baby, and it does impact on your sleep, doesn't it?
You want to bond with the baby, so it is critical that you perhaps contemplate sharing the nights if you can. So maybe, or sharing the feeds, alternating the feeds, sharing the workload, and perhaps, or even if Harry does one, Megan does another, and the night nurse does another, you know, at least they can rotate it. You've just got to get into some level of structure for yourself and for the baby, and learning to understand your baby's sleep pattern is really, really critical, because it's quite important. A lot of our sleep experts believe that you can't just let it flow. You have to develop some form of a structure for the baby and for yourself, so the baby knows what's happening next and gets into some rhythm and routine, because as humans, we love rhythm and routine.
Right, yeah. And what do you think, for people who want to get a good night's sleep, I'm not talking about babies now, I'm talking about all of us, what are the things you should avoid doing? Or when you need to get a good night's sleep, you avoid eating late at night, I would have thought.
Well, avoid watching Liverpool last night. Set you off.
Well done, for bringing that back.
Got to bring that one in.
Absolutely. Did you watch it, Sammy?
Oh my God! Yeah. The biggest turnaround in history. Wasn't it? But what I would say, even if you think about that, you watch that match, you're so revved up, you're so psyched up.
Yeah.
And you know, how are you going to get to sleep if you're that revved up? So one of the key things is that you need to unwind before you go to bed. Certainly not watching the greatest turnaround in sporting history.
Yeah.
That's not going to be good. I'm not sure how.
So you watch that, Sammy. You've watched that game. You're all revved up, but you need to get some sleep. What do you do?
Well, it's very important to implement a bedtime routine. So perhaps have come away from the television, try and switch your mind off, have a nice warm bath, play some relaxing music, and you need around about 45 minutes to an hour to unwind, because as humans, we're more like dimmer switches. We can't just go to sleep. We need to be wound down.
Yes.
So we need to take our time. Do you not remember when we were kids, our parents used to give us some quiet time, give us a hot milky drink, a nice warm bath, dim the lights, read us a bedtime story.
It's true.
So just like Megan and Harry, God, this is such a segue into the whole thing, just like Megan and Harry are going to be getting a bedtime routine set up for their kid, we need to also for ourselves think about having some bedtime routine in our lives, even if we have watched the Liverpool
See, I would say they've obviously got one over on the rest of us. They're one step ahead, because most people that I know, when they get into bed, they flick through Facebook, Instagram, and
That's
Twitter, and they will sit and look at that for an hour. Whereas those two are not going to be doing that, are they?
Or social media should go.
We do know that blue light exposure actually has an impact on your sleepy hormone melatonin. On a really serious note, and so avoiding blue light exposure, be it television, smartphones, social media, in advance of sleeping can actually have a huge impact on the quality and quantity of your sleep. Because by overexposing yourself to blue light, what you're doing is you're actually suppressing the release of your sleepy hormone, melatonin.
Wow. Yeah, so basically, don't sleep in the light.
Yeah.
Turn the light off.
Don't look at your phone anymore.
Tell me something, Sammy. Should you, can you have soft music on, or should it be silent?
So my thinking very much is more along the auditory. I think we're living in busy, stressy times, and many people I know prefer to listen to something like the radio music, or even just the dulcet tones of Love Sport. You know, have you noticed all the evening presenters have got these sexy, sultry voices that are a bit like this? Whereas during the day, they're all psychos. I mean, they're all like hyped up.
Thanks, Sammy.
You know,
cheers.
Really, really, really excitable like yourself, because you know, this is daytime show.
Well,
you would not be on a daytime show, would you? Or if you were...
We've got to be lively, haven't we? We've got to be lively, Sammy.
What would you do with your voice if you were a nighttime presenter?
Well, strangely enough, our show is repeated at 12 o'clock at night and about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't recommend listening to this show. It's too psyched up. You need to be psyched low. Yeah. You know,
we should do an hour, shouldn't we, Sammy? We should do an hour of... You're listening to Bell and Spurling.
Yeah. And you're going to your Barry White. Go into your Barry White, John.
Yeah.
Exactly. One of those soporific voices. So I often recommend audio like Stephen Fry or a deep, sultry voice to go off to. Silence is not a bad thing, but because we're leading such busy, stressy lives, some people are much better at listening to audio. Definitely not the television.
Right.
Definitely not the television, because, again, that's light exposure. So what you want to do is... do things that help calm, settle your mind. Some people listen to podcasts, meditation tapes, and anything to help calm your mind.
Do you know something, Sammy? You just said tapes. Yeah. We're going back.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean.
But our listeners are not going to understand. Our younger listeners won't know what tapes are.
Sammy, do you know what? Do you know what? There's one thing that I sometimes do before we go to break. There's something I do. If I can't sleep and I'm tossing and turning, I imagine that I'm the only person on a plane who's got a full double bed. Okay, and everyone else is in a cramped up seat, and their necks are all cramped. And I imagine that I'm the only one that can stretch out. And it's a very clever thing.
It's very good, Dad.
Do you like it? You can use that, Sammy, for free.
Love that. I love that. So that goes under the visualization section of my book. Okay, I'll put that in. I'm gonna credit that to you.
Reference
Martin
Bell. Thank you.
So Sammy Marks. Sorry, sir. I was just going to plug your book.
Hopefully. Meghan, Harry and the baby will be sleeping in this bedroom with lots of massive beds, and they can use your strategy to get off to sleep at night.
Well, Sammy, listen, we're going to have you back on, because there's a lot I would love to talk to you about. But until then, Sammy Margot, author of The Good Sleep Guide. I must read that, Belle.
Yeah, because you used to have sleep problems.
Sleep apnea. But a chronic sleep apnea. Yeah. And I wouldn't address it for years and years, as you know.
Yeah.
And, it changed my life when I got that. I went into the hospital and got a machine.
Yeah. And look at you now.
Look at me now.
Spring chicken.
Yeah, but it's incredible.
It is.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
Emmy is a night. A special night for everyone, really, for the fans, for the team, for everyone. I'm not sure if people expected it before the game, but we said to each other we'll fight right until the end and give everything, and we managed to do that.
There's that wonderful Scouser, Jordan Henderson, all the way from Geordieland. But you know what? I love it. He's an English player.
Yeah.
And I want to see these English teams do well with English players.
And listen, he was very, very much involved last night.
Very much so. He kicked it off, really, with the first goal. Origi scored it, but Henderson driving through the middle. I thought Henderson was great.
Geordie Henderson's got all the chat.
Crash, bang, wallop,
have some of that.
Something like that.
Centre midfield. Crash, bang, wallop, have some of that.
That was the rewrite of Sven that
Gareth, we did
in the summer for Gareth. And we put Jordan Henderson bang in the middle of it.
We certainly did. That's where he is, bang in the middle.
He certainly is. And the mad thing is that Jordan Henderson has been sub a few times, and I didn't know whether he was going to play last night.
And I
think you need characters like that. And this is what we were saying earlier about Manchester United have not got those characters anymore. Arsenal have not got those characters.
No, definitely not.
And you need...
Spurs have got a few.
Spurs have.
Yeah.
I think Spurs play as a team. And, you know, I'm really excited about you tonight. I really do think that you could make a fight back, especially watching that last night. Spurs fans watching Liverpool last night are going to want to fight tonight.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. Whether we get it or not, we don't know. But, you know, I think, I mean, I was watching it last night thinking, come on, Spurs, let's be as good as this.
Yeah. Well, obviously, you're not... Playing at home.
Not playing at home. Spurs, don't forget, Anfield is
something else.
Soaked in history.
Yeah.
We've got a new stadium. It's all brand new. Mm. So it hasn't got that history anymore.
It hasn't.
Do you know what I mean, though?
I do. Yeah.
You feel kind of like that.
Like
You've
I said
to make
you,
some history.
Earlier, when we played at Anfield, we played in a celebrity charity game.
It, yeah.
it's got something about that place.
Yeah.
You know, and I just the history of it. I was so proud to play at Anfield and score a great goal.
Yes, you did.
I did get John Barnes at that point. He was okay. He was running along, and he went past me at one point. I thought, wow. He's still got something about him, John Barnes.
Yeah.
Not now.
No.
He looked terrible now the other week on Harry's Heroes.
Do you think so?
Yeah, well, he couldn't play, could he? He'd done his knee and he'd piled on a few pounds and he's eating chicken wings.
Chicken wings, really. And he didn't, but he didn't. He could have lost the weight with them, but he didn't, did he? Didn't.
No, of course he didn't. He wasn't interested. Listen, the greatest night of European football that I've ever witnessed. We're joined now. By Liverpool fan and ex-goalkeeper as well, yeah. Mike Pantelli. Michael Pantelli is on the line. Pants, just tell us, greatest night as being a Liverpool fan?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say it eclipsed the Champions League final in some ways, but obviously not in others. The fact that in 2005... As you've probably seen the video a million times on my Facebook. I mean, that night for me was probably the best night of my life. Yeah. And my wife wasn't happy about that. But last night was unbelievable. I mean, I booked a trip to Vegas and I've even planned some like poker over there and stuff like that. And I planned it on the same day as the Champions League final because I just thought we ain't got a hope in hell's chance.
Really?
But, you know,
You got to cancel, haven't you?
That's it now. You got to believe.
Yeah, you know.
Do you think it eclipsed the Istanbul in 2005? Do you think it eclipsed that because it was at Anfield?
I think so, yeah. Because the atmosphere, I mean, listen, you go into that ground and like Martin said, it's like this vortex. For any like travelling team fans, it's like playing with another 2-3 men. It's just unbelievable. The atmosphere is beyond electric. And when they start singing and stuff, it's
crazy. I was going to say that, Mike. What's it like, you know, when you sing You Never Walk Alone and you're part of that at the Kop End? Give us half a clue of how it feels.
No, there's not many things... Obviously now 50-odd years old. Not many things that make my spine sort of like tingle and hairs stand up in your head. But that song, I don't know what it is. It's the passion, it's the nostalgia, it's the history. There's so much ensconced within that ground. There's so much history that it just does something to you. It just makes you can't even sing it sometimes. You're just crying. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we feel that as fans of as neutral fans, don't we, Bill? You know, you said it all the time. Yeah. You're well up when you hear it.
I think it's that, you know, like I said, when West Ham got beat by Liverpool in the FA Cup final a few years back, it was at Cardiff. I stayed behind just to listen to the Liverpool fans sing it because they were at one end of the stadium and it's still brought a tear to my eye. It's a powerful scene. Who was that stood out for you last night playing wise, Mike?
I've got to say, I think obviously Origi was outstanding. I think for me, Alisson was just totally on form last night. I think three or four chances they should have they had if they put them away, we'd have been toast. But he just for me stood out massively last night.
Well, you've struggled before with goalkeepers, obviously with Karius, but we did some stats the other day that. De Gea's slips this year were far worse than Karius over a period of a season.
No way. It's
unbelievable to see it. I'm going to try and drag it up before we finish the show. But you have found someone in Alisson now that you've got, you know, you always know yourself, you were a goalkeeper yourself. You've got to have a good spine to the team. And the fact that you've got him and Dick Van Dijk at the back, it's pretty strong, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the way De Gea has been playing this season, I think even I could get my gloves out of the game.
I think you're right. In fact, while you're on, Mike, I know you played at a good level as a goalkeeper. What do you think about the new rules of goalkeeper? Keepers not catching the ball. Keepers having to parry it out and punch
it. What do you mean not catching?
Well, they don't catch it and keep the ball anymore, do they?
No, I don't. If you look back, because I often look back at old goalkeepers like the Jennings and the Shiltons and people like the Paul Coopers and, you know, Spinks and people. I like looking at old videos and Lois Arcanada and people like that. And you look at them, and whenever there's someone hit a shot from like 20, 30 yards, they catch it.
Yeah.
You know, they just, that's what made them great. You know, I mean, Jennings had hands like shovels anyway. And, you know, they used to catch the ball. But I just think everything's too flimsy these days. Everyone just wants to parry it away. But thankfully, Alisson done one thing right last night, and that was when he pushed the ball away, he pushed it completely away.
Yes. He did. He parried it out to the left. Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. Yeah.
That's it. Or get it over the bar or whatever. But goalkeepers, they just want to showboat and make the save and push it back into play. And I just don't get that. I just don't understand it.
I think goalkeepers have forgot to be goalkeepers. Just talk to us about Jurgen Klopp, Mike. How much has he changed the atmosphere and behind the scenes at Liverpool?
The guy is as you know, in management, you need characters. You've seen it with England, with Sheringham and people like that. He must have told you what Venables was like. And people like that.
Yeah.
You need characters. You need people like that. People like him, you know, people like Klopp, you know, they're absolute characters.
Yeah.
You know, they're not all about just, they're not all about sort of like tactical and obviously, you know, being serious about the game.
Yeah.
They're serious behind closed doors, but, you know, they know how to build momentum in the team. They know how to get you going. They know that you want to play for the manager at the end of the day. You know, but you don't want to be like, you know, you don't want to be dictated to and, you know, shouted at all the time and it's business. I mean, he gives that air of sort of like, you know, happiness about the club.
He does.
Yeah,
he's always happy. I do think you're correct that you've got the right balance of characters.
Exactly.
In there, where Man United and the likes of Arsenal are failing that. Mickey Pantelli, I appreciate you joining us.
Or as you call him, Pants.
Pants. Yeah. It was a fantastic goalkeeper. Pants, enjoy the day as a Liverpool fan. And listen, we're going to come back and talk about it. We're also going to reference Spurs.
Yeah, with Alex Hode.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You'll Never Walk Alone.
No.
Probably the greatest song that's ever been sung in a football stadium.
Yeah.
Barring Sven. And Golden Balls.
The Royal Baby's come out.
The Royal Baby is out on parade.
We can see the baby now. Yeah. We're looking now.
But we still don't know a name, John.
No, we don't know.
We think Hank or Chuck.
Or Chuck or...
Buddy.
Kevin.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Yesterday we tried Dennis.
He'd be called Dennis the Menace. Harry says that parenting is amazing. Well, hang
he's
on.
He's only had two days.
Harry, you hang on a second, son. God, blimey, calm yourself down. You had 2 days. Say that in 6 months when the baby's being sick all over you. And,
and you've had no sleep.
Had no sleep. Say that then.
I know, because my daughter had colic. For
yes.
6-7 months.
Yeah.
And I never slept for 7 months.
Oof.
And you end up arguing with your partner.
Well, the nerves are going to be all in tatters, aren't they?
Yeah. It's the sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Maybe his brother's right. William's right. Yeah, there's some sleep deprivation society.
Yes.
Anyway,
it's a tough one. Anyway, listen, we've been talking about probably the greatest European performance ever seen.
Yeah.
Last night with Liverpool. But can Tottenham match that tonight? It's the other semi-final. Tottenham are 1-0 down from the first leg. They travel away to Ajax tonight. And we are now joined by Alex Hode, who is actually in Amsterdam. Alex, do you think that Spurs can replicate what Liverpool did last night?
good afternoon, guys. I'm not sure 4-0 is quite a realistic outcome this evening, to be perfectly honest. That was a little bit special. But I think there's a lot of hope among Spurs fans, certainly, that they can overturn it. A 2-1 would be fine for Spurs tonight, going through and away goals. And I'm pretty sure that most of them would take that now. Although, the Liverpool result seems to have dampened a little bit of the enthusiasm among the Spurs fans in the last kind of 12, 18 hours, something like that.
In what way, Alex? Explain more about that.
I think that... I mean, for Spurs, obviously, have never been within a sniff of a massive European final, certainly not in recent memory or generational memory. And so the prospect of Barcelona and Madrid, it's so exotic, it's so it's so different. And the prospect of Liverpool in a sun-drenched country, kind of, I don't know, it feels like it'll be less of a European affair and more of an all-English affair.
Alex, what you're saying is we're going all Spursy on it, aren't we? The fans are going all Spursy.
See, the difference with Liverpool last night, yeah, was
they believe.
They had a belief, and they've got a song. They sing this song called You'll Never Walk Alone. Yeah. Spurs are on their way to Wembley. It's not the same. Where's the character coming from in Spurs' team that can make them win this game?
Well, this is very true. I mean, there's no coincidence in the fact that Spurs, on their official Twitter and Instagram and everything, they've put the word believe, which is the word that Liverpool have been using all season long when it comes to the Premier League and the Champions League as well. It is all about belief, and it's whether or not you get the right reaction out of players like Heung-Min Son, who obviously has hopefully a point to prove for Spurs fans after the dismissal against Bournemouth.
Yeah.
You're looking for your big players to step up to the occasion. Christian Eriksen, obviously, who played here with great success for Ajax, and is a cult hero here. He's been off the boil for Spurs for quite some time, several months, and Spurs fans will be hoping he can really step up to the mark. Jan Vertonghen, another one that played at the Ajax Amsterdam Arena and did very well here. You're looking for your big players to step up. Hugo Lloris is going to be important tonight as well. It's all about trying to keep Ajax out and get your big players to step up. So Moussa Sissoko, if I said this a year ago, you'd have laughed at me, but he's such an important player for Spurs at the moment.
He's
fit and raring to go, and the engine room in midfield, and he's going to be huge for Spurs if they are to get anything out of this game.
I've just been reminded that Glory, Glory, Tottenham Hotspur is sung. Not really.
Oh, it's not nowhere near as powerful as You Know What. Glory, Glory, Glory. Yeah, but Man United use it as well, don't they?
Man United use it.
So
you know, you're talking about a team who's certainly got no characters in it. It's Man United and Arsenal. What about Llorente? Will Llorente and Moura, will they play up front again?
I would have thought Llorente certainly, but given the fact he didn't play against Bournemouth at the weekend, I think they probably would have been resting him for this game. He's got an important part to play. He played actually quite well for Llorente. He's a figure of hate for a lot of Spurs fans. They don't like the way that Spurs play when he's on the field, but he did a job. He held the ball up. He brought other people into play, and that's basically what he's going to have to do again tonight if Spurs is to be successful. Moore has done really well. He's worked really hard. He's done everything you could possibly ask of him, and it's one more big effort from a lot of these guys, and it's not a million miles away. Spurs could have been out of sight after the first leg, to be honest, the first half of the first leg, and the fact that they're not gives them a bit of hope. And obviously, after what we've seen last night, anything is possible in this game. It's crazy in the knockout stages of the Champions League.
I would love it if Spurs fans sang "You'll Never Walk Alone." seriously, how amazing would that be? Just you know,
they wouldn't dare.
Do you know what? It'd be lovely. The Spurs fans. So you're saying that the atmosphere is a little bit dented by Liverpool's performance last night?
I definitely think there are so many Spurs fans here. It's incredible. I think they're talking about 10,000, and they've only got a couple of thousand tickets for the game. There's going to be a lot of people around in Amsterdam Square, and it's raining, it's miserable. It's got all the hallmarks of Spurs beating AC Milan, actually, all those years ago in the knockout stages. I think it's like 8 or 9 years ago. It's very, very similar to that. So there's a little bit of hope among the Spurs fans, but the fact that it would be Liverpool waiting, that's a massive prospect. It's a strange game to kind of look forward to. I think just try and take it one at a time and get through this one first.
Yeah, I mean, is it a good atmosphere, would you say, there, though, even though it's a little subdued?
No, I mean, the weather subdues everything, because everyone hopes in May you're going away, you're sitting in the sunshine drinking the big pint of European lager, and it's not quite what people would hope for. I'm looking out the window, it's grey and grim and windy and cold,
it's certainly
like an away day Aberdeen at the moment.
It's certainly subdued us here, I can tell you that. You've got up this morning and it's been miserable. We had to put our coats on and out.
The only difference is, Alex, that we're in London, and when you're there's nothing to do in Amsterdam, there's always something to do in Amsterdam. What better place to be subdued than in Amsterdam?
Well, let's wish him all the best tonight, Alex.
Have a great time.
I've got my fingers and everything else crossed. Have a good time there tonight. And,
Alex Hode.
Alex Hode, dear.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, I love Amsterdam. What a great place to be.
I remember we went to Rotterdam to do a gig.
We did a gig, yeah.
And then you went on to Amsterdam.
Amsterdam to have a party. It was a bit of a do that I was doing, wasn't it?
I think it was an office do.
It was an office and a magazine do.
Wasn't it?
It's a fantastic place, Amsterdam.
Well, that's been our show.
It has. Listen, I will remember this day for the day that we came in to report on the greatest European game that I have ever witnessed in my life.
We were privileged.
Privileged.
To report on it. Yeah.
And I think tomorrow we'll still talk a little bit about Liverpool.
Oh, we'll be talking about it for the next couple of weeks.
And please God, we'll be talking about Tottenham and it will be an all-English final.
Let's hope it is. You've been listening to the Bell of Spurling. That's been your Wednesday. We're going to be at 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. tomorrow. You've been listening to Bell of Spurling.
Thank you very much.
Bell and Sperling on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.